We've been in this series on Revelation, and if you turn your Bibles this morning to Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, and we'll be preaching from that this morning. We've had, you know, a few, maybe just last week, hiatus here in the series. I'm not going to take the time to review this morning. We're going to move forward. But as you're turning, these are the messages that Christ had for individual churches at that time, which were a message to all the churches, not only of that time, but of all time. But the only one that gets the message, he says, is the one that has an ear that wants to hear. Right? That kind of happens ever message it's given. Those that want to hear. Some choose not to hear. I want to be a hearer, don't you? Amen. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? And remember, this is Christ speaking. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Here's what he says. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. But this is an interjection here. But thou art rich. I mean, it sounded pretty negative, isn't it? Tribulation, poverty. But thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. This is verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, this morning, not just when this was written, but this morning, he that hath an ear, anyone here have an ear this morning? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh. You know, there's something in the back of my heart I just can't hardly preach this morning thinking of. Too many people are starting to get this idea that you can get just enough of church, just enough of salvation to miss hell and make it to heaven. And don't get too fanatic. Don't get too radical. Don't get too involved. Just enough to say, I'm saved, therefore I'm not going to hell. That's not the way I'm reading this. He that overcometh. That takes effort. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I want you to know the promise is to the overcomer, not the coaster. Not the one that's just got a little enough to say, feel a little better and say, I'm going to miss hell. The promise, Brother Wilson's, to an overcomer. You've served God a long time. You've had many things to overcome. But you stand here this morning an overcomer. Hallelujah. Now hold on. You're not seated yet. We haven't prayed, but put your seatbelts on. Because I want to preach this morning on winners, not wimps. Winners, not wimps. Father, help us this morning. Anoint us with your Spirit. Speak, Lord, to every heart in the building. Lord, you know what you want to accomplish. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. We're getting ready to have another men's camp out. And years ago, we were having one on a farm not too far from here. We got in our tents that night, and it started raining. And it rained, and it rained. And our song leader at the time, his tent got to leaking. And about 2:30 in the morning, he hollered out. It woke me up. I'm a light sleeper. But he hollered out, I can't take this anymore. And he got up and got in his vehicle, and he went home. Well, right before he got up to lead songs that Sunday morning, I said, we had a men's camp out on Friday night, and some of us camped out, and some of us wimped out. Would you come lead the songs? I have to admit, since that time, I've wimped out on a lot of campouts. How many's noticed a trend today? Now listen, I'm not recommending anybody put their life in danger, but have you ever noticed the cancellations? I mean, we're supposed to be up here north where we know how to handle weather, you know, but have you noticed the cancellations lately? Whether church or school, if there's a 50% chance of a half an inch of snow, the cancellations start. I'm exaggerating just a tiny bit. But how many knows that's true? 50% chance of a half an inch. Here comes the cancellations. I look at my wife and say, we're raising a nation of wimps. You say, you're being extreme. I know, but that's the way I feel. We're raising a nation of wimps. You see, anything that's a little bit difficult, anything that's somewhat convenient, anything that demands some effort is totally avoided unless it's entertainment. I had a sister one time quit coming to church, went to see her. She said, oh, I can't come to church and sit there that long. The next week, she took a trip in the automobile to Florida, 24 hours one way, 24 hours. But it's too long to sit in church, but can ride in the car 24 hours one way to Florida. I can't come to that church. It's too cold, and go to a ball game and sit in 25-degree weather. Amen. Am I right this morning? Amen. There's no question in my mind. That's why churches keep dialing back on the number of church services per week. That's why churches have stopped having revivals and special meetings. It isn't convenient for Christians to come. It interferes with their plans. Amen. We must accommodate the entertainment society. The best attended church events are events that would appeal to the natural man and not the spiritual man. But I want you to know one thing of this church that I just read, this church of Smyrna. There were no wimps in the church of Smyrna. In Smyrna, to go to church might get you killed, but they went anyway. Amen. It took their all to serve Christ, but they gave it and gave it willingly. Amen. Need more monitor, brother, if you can help me. It appeared that these of Smyrna, they were losers in life's game, but I want you to know they were not losers. They were winners. They were overcomers. Hallelujah. Amen. The life of the Christian has never, Brother Oki, the life of a Christian has never been one of convenience. It has always been one of commitment. Amen. And I want you to know the committed Christian is not a wimp. I may not should call names, but Sister Norvale had major cancer surgery on a Wednesday and was in church for Sunday school on a Sunday morning. Sister Carol, we buried your husband on Thursday, but she was at her post in the house of God on a Sunday morning. Had a young man Wednesday night, had to work so long, he didn't get off work till 7:30 or so, couldn't make it, but he was at church at 8 o'clock. Hallelujah. We got young people that go to a public school where they're made fun of for looking different, fun of for what they do and don't do, and they're made fun of for living for Christ, but they go every day to school and they live committed to Christ. I'm telling you, this is about not being a wimp, but being a winner. And those that I just named, they're not wimps, they're winners, they're overcomers. Hallelujah. I told you when we visited the first church that Jesus had a sermon outline. We'll work our way through it again, but I want you to stay with me on this theme this morning. First of all, Jesus always gave an identification. He identified himself. He said in verse 8, these things saith the first. He's identifying himself. The one that's talking to you is the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. This is unto the church of Smyrna. Let me just tell you a little bit about Smyrna. You see, that name sounds funny, but listen to it. Myrrh. I remember frankincense and myrrh. That's what the name of this city means. It's myrrh, Smyrna. Smyrna is the only one of these seven cities that had a church addressed in Revelation that exists today. It's still got myrrh in it. It's Izmir Izmir is the third largest city in Turkey, in present-day Turkey. But then when Jesus addressed it, it was a rich port city of over 2,000. It was known because when you pulled into harbor, there was a street called the Street of Gold that went from the harbor and wound its way around Mount Pagus. And Mount Pagus was notable because on the top they had built these colonnade buildings all along the crest, and it looked like a crown. And that was the achievement of man. And you have to understand that in the context of Revelation, the Street of Gold and the crown, because that's what Smyrna was known for. But even though it was a rich city, it was a city in which, if you were a believer, you were horrendously persecuted for being a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you noticed what's happening in this identification, but in chapter 1, Jesus revealed himself to John with this extended description. John saw him whose hair was like white and whose eyes were like flame of fire, and out of whose mouth went a sharp sword, and who was girded about with a golden girdle and had garments down and his feet's like brass. And John sees this full description of Christ. But when Jesus turns, this is important, when Jesus turns to each church, he only shares the part of the description of himself that they need to hear. In other words, here's Smyrna. He didn't go through the whole list of hair and the girdle and all this. He only shared the description of himself that they needed to hear. And what the church of Smyrna needed to hear is that Jesus is the first and the last. Jesus is the one that was dead but is alive. I want to tell you what Jesus did to those churches. He shared with them what they needed to hear to say this: I am what you need most. I am what you need most. I'm glad it's that way when you turn to the Bible. If you're spiritually hungry, he is the bread of life. If you're lost this morning, he is the way. If you're confused, he is the truth. If you feel all dead inside, he is the life. If you feel filthy this morning, he is the fountain of cleansing. Hallelujah. If you're stumbling around in the darkness, he is the light. If you're in a storm, he's the one that walks on top the waves and he speaks to them. He is the peace speaker. If you're sick, he's the healer. If you're bound, he's the deliverer. If you're all cold inside, he's the one that'll make your heart burn. I'm just telling you, Jesus is whatever you need him to be. And so what did he say to Smyrna? He said, I'm the first and the last. Why did Smyrna need to hear that? Listen, because Smyrna is tremendously persecuted. And how many knows when you're going through hard times and big trouble, time seems to stretch infinitely out in front of you? Is that the truth? Infinitely. And so Smyrna, being persecuted, think, this is never going to end. This is hard. And so they needed to hear Jesus say, I am the first and the last. What did that mean to these Smyrnians or Smyrns or whatever you want to call them? What did that mean? I am the first and last. That meant that God was saying to them, I'm at both ends of your trouble and in the middle too. I am the first and the last. You started out with God, you're going to end up with God. In fact, maybe we didn't put that right. God started you out on this way, and God's going to be there to help you in this race. You see, he's the first and the last. God encompasses all of time, all of human events, and God encompasses my life. He was there the day I was born. He'll be there the day say I go to heaven? What does first and the last mean to Smyrna and to us? Jesus was saying, I am in control of your life. I am the first. I am the last. I am here in the in-between right now. Even if you cannot detect me in your suffering, I'm still here. Then he shared with the Smyrnans, he said, I am he which was dead and is alive. Why did they need to hear that? Well, first of all, we'll see in a moment that he told Smyrna, some of them were going to die for their faith. Wouldn't that make him a popular preacher? What if I told you this morning that I had inside news from the government that they were going to take arrest several of us this week and execute us? We'd be looking at one of those prosperity preachers about then. Ain't something to hear. They need to hear this because he's going to tell them they're facing death. But what he tells them, I am he that was dead and am alive, what he's saying is, I face death too, but I came back. And if you put your faith in me, you may face death, but you're a coming back. I don't think we got that. Let me try over here. Jesus said, you're facing death, but you got to understand something. I faced death. I was dead. They put me in a tomb, but 3 days later, the Spirit of the Lord raised me, and I came back. You're facing death, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall also quicken your mortal body. They need to hear that. And then in his sermon, Jesus always gives a commendation. He said in verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews, but they're of the synagogue of Satan. Notice Jesus does two things. Number one, he sees and he notes the good they're doing. I know thy work, in spite of persecution, in spite of having body pain, in spite of having financial difficulties, I know thy works. You're doing good. But not only did he tell them he saw the good they were doing, he said, I see the bad that's being done to you. I want to tell you something. Sometimes we feel like God doesn't see or he ignores the good we've done. And we feel like God doesn't see or ignores the bad done to us. But I want you to know something. He sees it all. I know your works. I know the things that's done to you. He said, first of all, I know not only your good works, I know your tribulation. The Greek word for tribulation is literally pressure, stress. And when you see it like this, tribulation literally means the burden that crushes. Have you ever had one of those kind of burdens? A burden that crushes. He says, I know your tribulation. In fact, he goes on, he says, I know your poverty. I know your poverty. That applies to some of us. I know your poverty. You know what James said in his epistle? He said we shouldn't be upset about poverty. Why? He said, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Maybe we got this all wrong. If we're not financially rich, maybe we should lift our hands this morning and say, oh, I thank God I'm not rich. Because he's not chosen the rich. He's chosen the poor who are rich. Come on, let's try it. Could you do that? Anyone want to join me? Boy, what kind of preaching you've been listening to? Rich in faith. Amen. You see, here's how it works. They had tribulation, which is pressure. They had poverty, and they had persecution. Here's how it works. The pressure came from their poverty, and their poverty came from their persecution. Now, I'm just taking a moment to explain this because it's so important to the church of Smyrna. They had two sources of persecution. First was secular. It came from the government of the time. Let me explain. I didn't tell you earlier, but Smyrna was called an imperial city. An emperor city. That's why I would go in. And the reason was, it was one of the places in the Roman Empire that you must go and could go to the temple to swear your allegiance to Caesar. And once a year, you had to go there. You had to offer the appropriate sacrifices. And at the end, you had to make the declaration, Caesar is Lord. And if you made that declaration, they would give you a sheet of paper, a certificate. It wasn't paper then, it was parchment or something else. But they gave you a piece of certificate that said that you had done your yearly duty and you had proclaimed, Caesar is Lord. But there was one group of people who would not do that. Does anyone know who they were? Christians. They refused to go and to declare that Caesar is Lord. And their reasoning was simple. We have but one Lord, and that is Jesus Christ. You've heard the stories of how they were thrown to Colosseums, eaten by lions and killed by gladiators. And it all roots back to this. These Christians refuse to bow the knee. I'm not talking about they refuse to be good citizens and obey the law of the land. You see, Caesar was considered a god, and they refused to bow their knee to any other god and save that god, because they only bowed their knee to one, and that was Jesus. And they would look to him and say, Jesus, you are Lord. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so am I. I'm telling you, thank God there's still folks like that. I mentioned the kids that go to public school, and we've got them here. They march in through those hallways where everybody's swearing allegiance to the Caesar of pleasure and the Caesar of sin. And we got those that say, I'm not bowing my knee to that Caesar. Jesus is my Lord. And I'll tell you why you shouldn't bow your knee to the Caesar of this world, because there's coming a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And so because they wouldn't do this, the government was throwing them into prison and killing them. But their persecution just wasn't secular, it was religious. There were those. And Jesus put it right. He said, they're not really Jews. Jesus said, they say they're Jews. They say their synagogue is synagogue of God, but their synagogue is the synagogue of Satan. And because people were accepting the message of Christianity and leaving the synagogues, the Jews became jealous of the impact of the gospel. And these so-called Jews begin to persecute the Christians at Smyrna. I want to tell you this. Your seatbelts are buckled and you know this. I just want to re-emphasize it. But many times as a Christian, your greatest trials and suffering will come from those who claim to be the people of God. They say they're Jews, but they're not. I have any testimony that you have found that in your Christian walk, that sometime the greatest persecution and suffering comes from those who claim to be the children of God? We have a radio commentator today that always makes a statement, I live in Realville. Of course, nobody knows who that is, but I want to tell you something. Smyrna was Realville for the Christian. I mean, if you're going to be a Christian, you face the reality of what you believed in. How many knows the lie of Christianity in America today is that if you become a Christian and serve Christ, everything is going to get better for you? You'll get a bigger house, a bigger paycheck, a better job. I want to tell you, if you were a believer in Smyrna and heard that gospel, you'd have big trouble. Because when they made up their mind to serve God, things didn't get better. Things got worse. They lost their jobs. They were ran out of their homes. I want to tell you, I believe this book from cover to cover. And sometimes my heart is stirred by the lies people are told. I want to, church, just this one thing. People have believed the prosperity doctrine in America for several decades now. What's America churches going to do when real persecution hits? They're unprepared for it. They're told if they just have faith and, you know, they got a headache, just to say they don't have a headache, and that's not going to work. And if you can get that to work, or you think it's going to work, you're saying, I'm a better Christian than those at Smyrna. Because I don't look at those at Smyrna as having weak faith. I look at them as having strong faith, where they say Jesus is Lord even though they're headed for the Colosseum for saying it. That ain't weak faith. That's strong faith. Realville was Smyrna. The prosperity and positive thinking and self-esteem Christianity of America today, I believe, has done the believer in the church great disservice and harm. I mean, they teach the believer that if he embraces faith, he'll live a life of prosperity and blessing, but then the storm hits, and then the kids get sick, and then dad loses his job, and then some family member is dead, is struck dead. It's been taught that the believer, if he'll just look to the church, he'll find a place that'll cater to him, bless him, prosper him, do something for him, and therefore our churches are filled with believers who come through the doors and saying, what are you going to do for me this morning? How are you going to profit me? Are you going to tickle what I want to hear this morning? I'm telling you, it's a lie. It's not true. It's foreign to America's Christianity to declare before a people, you may suffer if you serve God. They don't want to hear it, but it's in the book, and God's looking for a people that's committed enough that says, when the suffering comes, I'm not quitting. When I lose my job, I'm not quitting. When things go under, I'm not quitting. I'm not in this for what I can get out of it. I'm in this because He is Lord. He saved my soul. He's made me a home in heaven. Hallelujah. God help me, that's the truth from this book. Being a Christian doesn't keep you from living in a fallen world with a fallen body amongst fallen people. Well, I'm quitting church. So-and-so isn't very friendly. I'm quitting. It's so hard to serve God in public school. I'm quitting. I'm quitting. I don't like the music they've been singing lately. What about those Smyrnans? Persecution, poverty, pressure, crushing burdens. But Jesus pointed out to them, they wouldn't be success stories for the prosperity and self-esteem church. But Jesus pointed out, even though the pressure and poverty and persecution is there, He said, you are rich. You are rich. I got to point this out. Smyrna thought she was poor, but was in fact rich. Later we're going to learn about another church, Laodicea, that thought she was rich, but Jesus had to tell her she was poor. I'd rather be poor and Jesus tell me rich than to think I'm rich and Jesus tell me I'm poor. Hallelujah. How many's with me this morning? Oh, it's holiday. You don't got to work tomorrow. Don't worry about the time. Hallelujah. That's the danger of the neo-gospel. It puts the emphasis on the wrong kind of riches. Don't tell me they don't. Send $50 to this ministry and God will bless you tenfold, and you'll go down to the car lot and pick out any car you want. Don't tell me they've got the emphasis on the wrong kind of riches. That gospel wouldn't have flown in Smyrna. No, sir. But I want to tell you, if you've got the peace of God this morning, if you know your sins have been forgiven, you can lift a hand and say, I'm rich. I'm rich. Hallelujah. If you really know the truth, if you're one that's not trying to just get by, but you're living the truth, amen, you can lift your hand this morning and say, I'm rich. I'm rich. If you've got a family this morning that serves God. Hallelujah. You could say, I'm rich. I'm rich. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's not just Jesus. Most would not want Paul as the keynote speaker at their convention, because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you say, I don't have any battles, nothing ever goes wrong with me, I'm on top of it all, you need to take a look at your Christianity, because if you really try to serve God, Satan will fight you, the world will fight you, the flesh will fight you, sometimes the people of God will fight you. Hallelujah. But if you know the truth, if you've been redeemed, if you've been set free, you can lift your hands and say, I'm rich. Then Jesus, his outline would move to condemnation. So what's the condemnation for the church of Smyrna? None. Did you get this? Only two of the seven churches have no word of condemnation. And both of those churches were churches that suffered the greatest of persecution. We do not want to admit it. And we hate to admit it, Brother Cruz. But it's times of suffering that purify our souls, if we let it. I don't like to suffer. I sure ain't going to go look for it. Come on, devil. Come on, let's see what you got. That's ignorance. But Peter said, he said, those that have suffered in this flesh, they learn not to sin. Brother, I don't want to be depressing, folks. Am I preaching the truth? Okay. You heard from the elders. I want to tell you something. I'd like to see everybody successful. But did you know few Christians are able to handle success? Some things I hate to hear. I had a friend of mine tell me one time, we was talking about money. He said, well, the way I look at it from the Bible, God only gives people as much money as they can handle. I didn't like hearing that. Found out why I wasn't a millionaire. God knew I couldn't handle it. Whew, that's good. Sister Cruz said we're going to have to recruit a new amener since Brother Cruz is gone. So somebody say amen. Amen. That's good. Thank you. Got another Brother Cruz. That's good. Appreciate that. Then Jesus moves on either to a word of counsel or correction. Look at verse 10. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He didn't have a correction to make because there's nothing to condemn. So his counsel was, don't fear. How many times do we fear? But how many times, Sister Crispin, did our Savior say, fear not? I had one of our young ladies come to me this morning and say, Pastor, I just have fear hit me. That's the enemy's attack. When you're in the danger of losing your home and your life, fear's going to come. How could Jesus say, don't fear? Because they could take the Smyrna's house, they could take the Smyrna's field and the Smyrna's job, but they could not take the Smyrna's soul. Look what Jesus earlier said in Matthew. Fear not them which kill the body. They'll drag you to the Colosseum. They'll kill you. But rather, that they're not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This world can bring the persecution on. They can bring us to financial ruin and material ruin. But if you will serve God, they can't take your soul. But Jesus can. Aren't you glad you're not going to be cast into hell, but you're going to be invited into everlasting life? Well, what's the warning? There's always a warning in his sermon. Look at verse 10. Here's the warning. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death. Now, if Jesus were an evangelist, I hope he waited till after the offering to say this. Because he looked at that church and said, I want to tell you something. Things are going to heat up. They're going to throw you in prison. They're going to kill some of you. How many believes that would truly thin the ranks of churches today if Jesus appeared and said, some of you coming up, they're going to cast you into prison. They're going to kill you for your faith. Now, we can shake our heads and say, that only happens in communist Russia in the past. But have you noticed how often every time something goes bad in America today, it's the religious right that has become the scapegoat? How many believes in just a matter of a little bit it could get this way in America? You say, oh no, it'll never be that way in America. Yeah, we said that about a whole lot of other things too. Didn't we? He warned them. He said, it's going to get worse. Let me tell it again. I'm one of the older pastors now. I can just repeat myself and you just love me and say, oh, that's Pastor Hurst. But we used to have opening exercise before Sunday school. Brother Wilson, remember that? And we'd take prayer requests. And Brother Bicknell was sitting right there on the front row about 94 or 5. And Brother Jones was up taking prayer requests about 84 or 5. And Brother Jones, in his humble way, he said, y'all pray for me. I've been having a swimmy head a whole lot lately. And Brother Bicknell spoke up and said, yeah, and it's going to get a lot worse too. Does it sound like Brother Bicknell? Oh, hallelujah. That's what Jesus said. You're going to be cast into prison, taken to court. Death sentence. I've heard people, and I'm not, please understand, I am not minimizing what I'm about to say. Listen to me across the building, young people, everybody. Some people have come to me late and said, it's just so hard serving God nowadays. Really? Really? Have you heard what the Smyrnans were up against? I just don't think I'm going to try to serve God anymore. I just don't feel like I fit in church and I fit in. Really? Really? Look what the Smyrnans were facing. Well, you know, I just don't know. I just can't worship because that's just not my kind of song. Really? Really? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If that preacher don't shorten his messages, I just can't take any more sitting on that pew. It's like sitting in torture. Really? What if you're waiting to go into court where you knew they was going to take off your head? It ain't that bad, is it? Maybe it's my head that's going. Even if people are used to it, they need to understand something. I didn't say it right. Even though people are used, it's still the devil that's behind it. He said the devil will do this. He said you'll be cast, you'll have tribulation for 10 days. We could argue till the moon turns to blood, which it will one day will, and not figure out just exactly what Jesus meant by 10 days. So let's leave it here. Let's leave it here. Even though it looked like Satan was having his way in Smyrna, he still had perimeters set by him, set for him by God. 10 days, Jesus said, and that's going to be it. I want you to know, believe this morning. You may be going through tremendous trial and hard times right now, but God's watching and God's aware and God has set perimeters on your trial. How many are still with me? I said, God, 10 days, God has set perimeters. He is in control even when Satan is persecuting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then there's the last of all, there's the promise. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We got a promise. You're going to die, but be faithful unto death. I'll give you. You got poverty, but you're rich. We used to evangelize. My skills are a little limited, quite a bit limited, I meant to say, and didn't know a whole lot of songs. You got to understand, this is in 1984, and I'd play the piano, and Sandra would sing. And one of the songs we used to sing back then, I'm a poor, poor rich man. We sang that at about 10 churches until my wife said, I don't like singing that song, I'm a poor, poor rich man. So we lost one of our three songs. Amen. But how many is glad you can lift a hand this morning, regardless of what you're going through, and say, oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. Whatever's going on in my life, I can say I'm a child of the King. And what's His promise? Even if you face death, look what's on the other side of death. It's a crown of life. I never try to bore you with this, but there's two words for crown. Diadem, that's what a king wears, a sovereign wears. And then there's Stephanus, and we get the name Stephen from. That was like the laurel crown that when you won the Olympics, they put it on your head because you finished the race. You won the race. You went through the hard place, and we're victorious. When Jesus said, I give you the crown of life, it's not diadem, the crown of a king. No, it's Stephanus, the crown of the victor. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's going to be some people who overcome. They're going to be victors, and He's going to give them the crown of life. How many's going to have a crown of life? Music, would you come? There would be no promise to the overcomer if there were nothing to overcome. But there is something to overcome, and the promise is to the overcomer. Hallelujah. Being a Christian gives us hope that however bad things get, in the end, the Christian will not lose, but will gain it all. Death may result from the persecution, but death also results in eternal life. You don't understand it as a young person, but I visited older folks in the hospital and in hospice. Before I prayed, I said, can I pray with you about anything? And I remember this one sister up in her 90s. She said, yes, sir, Pastor. You pray that Jesus take me home today. She said, oh, I want to go home. I want to be with Him. Would you pray that God just take me on today? I didn't learn that in Bible school. Pray God kill people. How could someone pray that? Because you got a glimpse what's on the other side. Sister Carol, you said it. We can't lose either way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, get this. Across the, now's the time. It's not a time for games. It's not a time for facade. It's a time, if we're going to be a real Christian, let's be a real Christian. It's not going to work to be a Christian in name only. It's not enough to be a Christian just because you, we need to be committed. How many got through the whole preaching? This isn't for the wimps. This is for those who are set on being winners, not in our own strength, not in our own power, but through the work of Jesus Christ and the enablement of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Then death and hell were hurled into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But He says we will not be hurt with the second death. People are fearing the first death, and instinctively so. But what we should really fear, it's not the first death when we're separated from this life. What people should really fear is that second death of being cast into the lake of fire. But Jesus said to us, however bad it gets, we're not going to the second death. We may face the first death, but we will not face the second death. We have eternal life. I close with this. Smyrna. They call him the 12th martyr of Smyrna, a man called Polycarp. You ever heard of Polycarp? Actually, as a young man, you can figure the dates, sat at the feet of John, the Apostle John. Persecution got so intense, killing Christians right and left. Polycarp is an old man. They imprisoned him. And listen to what the magistrate said. Just swear against Christ, and I will release thee. Come on, Polycarp. Reproach Christ. Here's Polycarp's answer. 86 years I have served Him, and He never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my King who has saved me? They took him out. They normally nailed him to the stake, but they tied him, put the wood around him, lit the wood. But God gave him enablement. The wood or the fire would not touch him. And so the magistrate sent a soldier to drive his spear into his abdomen. And when he did, the blood spurted out, drowned out the fire. Some of that may just be traditional tales, but there's the nut of truth in all of that. The thing is, he faced death, but he said, my God has been so good to me. How could I deny him? The Lord has been so good to me. Have you ever sung it? I feel like traveling. I'm not minimizing anything. Some of you got big problems, big troubles. You've got suffering hearts this morning. You're going through it. The valley's dark. You're in the middle of a battle. You face disappointment and grief and every other thing. It's right there. Oh, but I'm telling you, we can overcome. If we'll just believe in our God, we can overcome. Hallelujah. We shall triumph. Amen. No complaining, no griping. Only lifting our hands and say, he's been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. I'm not trying to stir up something that's tender. But when I watch parents that lost their son stand and worship God and shout to the Lord, I said, there's no wimps here. Only winners. I have done a good job getting it across, but I am tired. Maybe this is a little human exasperation coming through, but I'm tired of people not serving God over ever and any little insignificant reason. This is for the overcomer. How do you do this? Halfway joking, I say, what do you do? Do you give an altar call for those who've just been wimpy in your faith? I may not have the audacity to give that kind of altar call, but if someone would have that kind of honesty this morning, see, I've just been wimpy about my faith. I let every little thing cause me to compromise and give in and give out and give up. I'm telling you, if someone would just be honest, like it, you'd get help from God like you never had before. There's just something happens, Sister Ro, when we surrender fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. Something will happen. I won't give that kind of altar call, but you can give that kind of response. Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, this world is going to catch on fire. Unimaginable things are going to happen. But if you know Jesus, he's going to make a way of escape. He's going to deliver. Hallelujah. You can have a crown of life. Hallelujah. I don't know what to do with this. Let's just lift our hands and praise the Lord and say, Jesus, I'm in this to the end. I'm in this to the end. I will not compromise. I will not give up. I will not give out. I've made up my mind. I've made my decision. I will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to do it, Brother Cruz. I'm going to give the altar call right now. It's going to take honesty, but I'm telling you, God will meet you here. I wonder who would say in your heart right now, I've not been committed the way I need to be. I've let things keep me out of church. I've let things keep me from serving God. I've let things keep me from doing his will. And I'm tired of that. I see these in Smyrna who are sold out 100%. I don't want to be that compromiser. I want to be that committed one. I've moved back. I've let up. I've gotten loose on some things. But this morning, I want to recommit my life and join those of the church of Smyrna. Are there others that come right now and say, I'm coming to recommit wholly and fully and completely to Jesus Christ? Are there others that would come right now? Amen. I want to commit fully. Amen. God bless you. Are there others? Amen. God bless you. I'm coming for recommitment. It's not a time to grow cold in our souls. It's not a time to let the worldly influence still our passion, amen, for our love for God to wax weak. It's time to move up closer. It's time to sell out more. It's time to give more completely. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be a wimp. I'm going to be a winner. Even if you're here and don't know Christ, join those that are coming. There'll be somebody to pray with you this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Make sure everybody's prayed for around the front. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life.
Don't have to worry, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning.
Oh, come on, seek
troubles,
the Lord.
They don't last.
I'm going to be
always
a Smyrna. I'm not packing up. If it gets worse,
Jesus,
I'm still going to serve the Lord.
He will wipe your tears.
If the devil
away
comes against me more harshly, I'm
and
still going to serve
your
the Lord.
Heart is
God,
broken,
forgive me of letting things keep me from total devotion. Father, forgive me of letting things keep
I
me from wholly serving you.
And I know that I can stand, for no matter what may come my way, my life
oh, come
is
on
in your
let's
hands.
Seek him like Smyrnans. We've just been told,
Jesus,
you'll be cast into prison. You'll face death.
With
but be
him,
thou faithful unto death, and I'll
stand,
give you a crown of life.
No,
he that overcometh shall not be hurt with
way
the second death.
My
I recommit. I give myself
hands
wholly, completely, and totally
you
to you.
Don't have to worry, and don't you be afraid.
Come on, he's here. I call you, Lord. I refuse.
Troubles, they don't last always.
I refuse to say Caesar is Lord.
For there's a
I refuse to let anything
Jesus
else be Lord of my
will
life.
Wipe your tears
Jesus
away.
You are Lord.
And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, I know that I can make it. Oh, I know that I can stand, and no matter what may come
that's
my
it
way,
I call you, Lord.
My life is in
I call
your
you,
hands.
Lord. I call you, Lord.
With Jesus, I can take it. With him, I know I can stand, and no matter what may come
be
my
thou faithful
way,
unto him.
My life is
be
in
thou faithful
your hands. So when your tests and trials, they seem to get you down,
oh,
and
hallelujah,
all your friends and loved ones,
hallelujah,
they are nowhere to
be faithful
be found.
Be faithful.
Remember there's a friend named Jesus.
I call you, Lord.
And he will wipe your tears.
I refuse to let anything else be Lord of my life.
If your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. And no matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. I can take it, and with him I know I can stand, for no matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. I know that I can make it. I know